Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another new episode of Scripts on Scripture. We are in season two. It is well underway, and I am so excited about today's conversation. Today, we have a special guest, and here with us today is Erica Diaz-Castro. She is a fellow podcaster, a life coach, and mother, wife. You run an amazing ministry. I mean, all the things.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And for all the things that have come up to this point, we just give God all the glory.
Absolutely.
We couldn't have facilitated this on our own, right?
No. Because, I mean, we met through social media, of all things.
Yeah.
And
I don't even...
Neither one of us.
Social,
uh-uh.
Right?
Uh-uh.
It was totally a God thing. But Her Renewed Strength is a ministry that exists, a business and a ministry that exists to get women in the Word of God and to help women have time for what matters, to do the things that the Lord is calling them to do, and to do it with less anxiety, less overwhelm. On my show, I'll say things like we shift our perspective from the temporal to the eternal, and it really is a shift of perspective. And so when I'm working with clients, that's what I'm doing. It's really, coming out of the microscopic view and looking through the telescope, right?
Yeah.
That's what the Lord has allowed me to do, and it's been really fun.
I love that. I love that because that's where our lines intersect.
Mm-hmm.
And the passion you have for helping women get in the Word. And I love that. I love that. I was excited about to talk to you about Mary, actually.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of Marys in the Bible, so I want to clarify right away, this is Mary, mother of Jesus we're talking
about.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
She has so much to teach about faith when it doesn't make sense. And I know you and I both, we had a life plan that was dramatically altered.
That's right.
You have an idea of what, this is my purpose, my destiny. And I know for me personally, there was once upon a time I was an athlete and dreamed of being a professional dancer.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not
so
what happened.
Looks a little different now.
Looks a little different than I imagined.
We dance with our children.
But,
And
you likewise. You had your...
Completely different idea of what life would look like. I didn't want children. I never saw myself as a woman getting married. I never actually... if I dated or when I dated, I wasn't thinking I'm going to marry this guy.
Yeah.
It actually never crossed my mind with anyone until my husband.
Doggone it. I fell in love.
I know. And I remember telling my mom remembers this distinctly because she didn't think that she would ever get grandchildren from me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, he wants to have kids. And if he wants kids, I'll have his kids. And even to the point that we separated for a time and I dated someone else and that person asked me if I wanted kids. And I was like, I really don't. But I did think about having kids one time. And I think I'd only have kids with one person just because genetically, I think we'd make good kids. And that didn't go so well.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little offended. But look at how God works. We got back together. We ended up getting married, we have been blessed with two amazing, hilarious, intelligent, creative, curious kids, and it's been the blessing of our lives, I never saw myself as a stay-at-home mom or a homeschooling mom, and I'm doing all those things now.
All of them, yes. I wanted to start with that just simply because when Mary's introduced, I think there is... almost a status that we associate with her greeting. When the angel addresses her as highly favored, I think a lot of times it's easy to read that as, and I'm not, or the other characters, there's a status thing happening.
Yeah.
And she is. There are only a few people in the Bible who are addressed as highly favored.
Mm-hmm.
The one that comes to mind right now is Moses, who's also described as the greatest prophet ever.
Mm-hmm.
None has ever been since him as great.
But
that being said, that it doesn't take away from the fact that after the angel addresses her this way, she still has to go back to life as a teenage girl,
right?
And she still has to live life as a human being mm-hmm. with all of the limitations that come with that. So I think that when we approach her, we have to be really careful, especially with the history of Christianity and her status as a deity of sorts.
Yep.
A really tricky area to navigate in terms of understanding her as a role model.
Yeah.
You know, and not as this superhuman.
That's right. Yeah. I think about when you said highly favored or highly esteemed Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
yeah.
When I was growing up, I grew up Catholic,
yeah.
and so I prayed the Hail Mary without understanding what yeah. I was actually saying, and
yeah.
I walked away from that faith when I was in college,
yeah.
and I didn't walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And when I look back at that time, I don't know that I ever really did know the Lord. Like,
yeah.
I knew of Him. I didn't really know Him.
It's a difference.
There's a huge difference. When I did come to know the Lord,
yeah.
I remember having questions. Like,
yeah.
why
yeah.
is Mary seen as such a person to be, like, that you would pray to her.
That you would pray to her.
You know?
Yeah.
And my mom is Catholic, and I've had those conversations with her, and I don't know that it's actually fully understood by those who are in that faith, right? I don't disfellowship my mom. I don't
right.
think she's not
right.
a Christian because she prays to Mary, but I think that there is a misplacement of
yeah.
hope, in a
yeah.
sense, and I think that there's
yeah.
also an opportunity to
yeah.
kind of like teach our brothers and sisters who are in
Absolutely.
The Catholic tradition about putting God in His proper place and understanding that Mary's not yeah. in that same place.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of confusing doctrines that arise, you know, right as, you know, if you go back in church history, there are
mm-hmm.
a lot of confusing doctrines that come up. And I think that, what was happening in the culture at the time really shaped in a lot of ways the way that Mary was interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of confusing questions when you talk about the mother of our Lord. Like you do kind of have to wonder, because we wonder, you know, okay, He's fully God and He's fully man. So then what's Mary, you
mm-hmm.
know, and how does that work? And truthfully, we probably will never be able to put into words
yeah.
how exactly that works. How can you be 100% one thing and 100% another?
Right.
There are some things that you really do have to take on faith,
yeah.
knowing that the fact that we can't outthink God should actually be comforting to us.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
You know?
And there is so we're told, right,
yeah.
in God's word that there are things that we won't understand,
yep.
right? There are mysteries.
Yep.
And I think that's something that, at least for me, helps me to... I'm at peace with it because I can have trust that when I see the Lord face to
yes.
face, I have so many questions. We have to talk.
Yes,
you know?
Yes,
like,
yes.
Can we hang out forever?
Hold up. I got
you know?
A view.
And so with that, there are people who... And I think it's this element, and this kind of plays into what I do with women in my line of work, right? Like, there's this element of control that we want to have, including
yeah.
our control of understanding.
Yeah.
And while it is important to ask questions, and it is important to not just, you know, put all your faith in something without truly understanding what that
yes.
thing is.
Yes.
There is also this other side of that coin that requires that the things that you don't have full understanding of,
yeah.
you have trust in the character of
yes.
God, right? Of who
yes.
God is.
And that's where the relationship
yeah.
becomes so, so important.
Yeah.
Because there are times, like I think about how her life would have been. She wasn't perpetually on a mountaintop experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's I don't want to say easy, but when you're experiencing something supernatural, your faith is stirred
yes.
without you having to really work it out.
That's right, yeah.
You know, you're not really striving towards something, you're there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In that moment,
yeah.
you know, having faith really isn't so much a challenge, but we're not told in Scripture of another angelic encounter that Mary has. We're not
yeah.
told of another supernatural greeting.
That's right.
And you have to figure it would take a lot. She was there throughout every single one of the Gospels. Mary was there throughout Jesus' ministry.
Yeah.
She was there even at His crucifixion.
Yep.
She was there even after He was buried.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have faith. Mm-hmm. And so my thing is, when I look at the character of Mary, her humanity becomes all the more important because it's teaching me something. It's teaching me about how to have faith mm-hmm. when I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've had experiences in life where God calls you to do something. And initially, it's kind of exciting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, okay, you know, this is the new step.
Yeah.
But then real life comes in.
You
and
have to do the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think back, you know, just sitting here, I'm like, when I graduated high school, I knew God had said, and it was kind of last minute because I had a whole plan. Like, girl, I had it planned. You know me. I'm a planner.
Yeah, yeah.
I had it planned. And then God tapped me on the shoulder and was like, yeah, you're going to move to Birmingham.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't want to.
Okay. That's fine.
I didn't want to. Personally, if I was going to move out of state, I was like, take me somewhere exciting. Like, let's go to New York City. Let's go, you know, like.
Big city. Yeah. Is Birmingham not a big city?
It's gotten a lot bougier since I was there.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah.
and no shade on Birmingham.
We love y'all.
Yeah, no, it's not. There's no shade. I just, in my head, that was not on the list.
It's not the first place you think of, especially as you're like growing into adulthood, right? And like doing your thing.
Yeah.
I get it.
And I remember after moving, because, you know, again, you first make that leap and it's kind of exhilarating, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of exciting. And then you start to settle in to life. And I'm thinking like, he's got a person there that I'm going to connect with and my writing career is going to just like take off.
That's right.
And it's going to be amazing. And, you know, so like I'm picturing all these like, this has got to be the goal. That's got to be the mm-hmm. goal, you know, like, and I'm trying to make sense of it.
Yeah.
And I was paying for school. So mm-hmm. I was very, very broke. Yes. Took a job. I actually, at one point, I was working 3 part-time jobs. I was in school full-time. Mm-hmm. Had like 0 social life as a consequence because, you know, when you're doing all of that.
Yeah. So you sacrifice something.
You know? And I remember one day I was headed home from church. I had to work. And so I was going to stop at home and get changed. And I'm driving in the car. And I was so lonely. I was so mm-hmm. lonely. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to hear the voice of somebody that I knew would, you know, that cared about me.
Yeah.
You know, because you're going to work, you're going to school, you're going to work, you're going to school. And, you know, I just, oh, man. And so I called my mom. Mm-hmm. And this was before all the 5G signal and all that great stuff. And the call could... It was just breaking up. It was mm-hmm. like, it was not going to work. And, you know, and I had very little time. I had to, like I said, I was stopping to get changed and headed to work. And I got so angry. I was so frustrated because I was like, I just need a little to keep going. Mm-hmm. I just need a little. And I stopped at home. And changed really fast as I could. And then I grabbed a stack of Post-it notes. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed my Bible. And I just start flipping through the pages. Mm-hmm. And randomly, and I don't recommend doing this. This is not a technique I recommend doing. But I'm just like randomly scribbling down passages of scripture. Mm-hmm. And not even really reading them. You know, like, you know how you can like write it down without really like processing it. And so I'm not really reading it. And I stuck them all on my bathroom mirror. You know I do this.
Rage writing.
This is, right? This is literally what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally what it was. And I said before I left, I was like, God, I need a word. Mm-hmm. I need a word to know what in the world I'm doing here. Mm. And that it's not for nothing.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Yeah.
And so I had the closing shift that day. I was closing with another girl. We didn't typically get scheduled together. We hadn't really like had much time to talk. Sweet, sweet, sweet girl. Like, I didn't mind closing with her at all, but it was just kind of one of those things where we didn't really have a whole lot of relationship at that
right,
point.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had 0 social life, so it's not like we were hanging out after.
Yeah. So, what do you talk about?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's closing time, and you just kind of talk over the headsets, like, mm-hmm. you know, as you're cleaning up and stuff. And so we're talking, we're making small talk. And then she asked me, she goes, Heather, why did you move to Birmingham?
Funny you ask.
Girl, you know I wanted to lie. Yeah. You know I wanted to lie. I wanted to, because I had nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
I'm broke.
Yeah.
I have no friends. Mm-hmm. I have no, like, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a struggle to get the grades I was getting just because I'm working so many hours. And and so, like, honestly, I didn't want to say. Plus, you kind of sound a little crazy because I wasn't really sure where she stood.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was kind of like, you know, if I knew she was a believer, then it's like, oh, you know, cool. But yeah, anyways, so.
It's okay, though.
But I had that check in my spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was like, tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell the truth. And so I was like,
well.
I still remember, like, struggling through it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I moved here because I felt that was what God told me to do.
Yeah.
And I got really honest with her at that point. I was like, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like, I legitimately don't.
Yeah.
But that's why I moved to Birmingham. Mm-hmm. It got so quiet on that headset.
It did. She was like, what do I say to this girl?
It was like,
she probably knew you needed comfort.
Yeah, but it was funny because it might not have been as long as it felt, but it did feel very long.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, she thinks I'm crazy. That's okay. You mm-hmm. know, like, whatever. Yeah. And she came back on the headset and she said to me, she goes, Heather, I don't know why God told you to move to Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, but I'll tell you this. She goes, before you came, I was struggling. She's like, I had really kind of walked away mm-hmm. from my faith. I was hanging out with people I shouldn't have been hanging out with. And mm-hmm. I was heading in a bad direction.
Yeah.
And she said that when I started working there, she's like, I could see a difference. And she's like, it made me check myself.
Mm.
And she's like, I don't know why God moved you here. She's like, but you changed my life.
Oh my gosh. Yes, Lord.
I about fell down. Like, you could have knocked me over with... Yeah, It wasn't like she was the shining beacon of, you know, here's your career on a silver platter, or mm-hmm. this is the, you know... Like, there were so many things that I was imagining
yeah.
as the purpose for me being there.
Yeah.
That it was like I missed the most important mm-hmm. reason for being there. And I remember feeling so, like, convicted on one hand, because it was like, I was thinking about me this whole time. I was thinking about me. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about why you moved me here for me.
Yeah.
And I missed the most important. And I remember I got home and I looked at the verses that I had randomly rage written.
That's right. You sure did.
And every single one of them was about, I have a purpose mm. for you. You are kept.
Yeah.
I go before you.
Mm.
You are called. Like, I sank down, still smelling like steamed milk and coffee grounds. It's not a pleasant odor, by the way.
I don't know. I feel like I like that. That's my favorite.
The milk is kind of soured on your clothes.
Okay.
That's
we
not.
We have children, we know. Yeah.
It's gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways. But I'll never forget feeling like it was like the loudest you could have possibly heard God's voice, because every single verse was speaking to my situation. Mm-hmm. It was every single verse that I had rage written.
Yeah. Yeah.
not in the right spirit, not in the right mind, but that for me was one of those turning points where I had stepped out in faith
mm-hmm.
and then life hit. And I got so frustrated and so bogged down and so blinded
mm-hmm.
by just life stuff.
Yeah, that reminds me of some conversations I've had
uh-huh.
with women who are walking in obedience.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, I'm not saying this was you, but I know for me, I have said and had conversations with women who say yes in obedience and expect there to be a blessing for them.
On the front end.
Right, you know? And the blessing is not always so obviously for you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's partially why I try to keep that perspective of like, all right, eternity is bigger than this moment. You know?
Yes.
Eternity matters. Eternity matters. And that is so important in just remembering that your everyday walk, wherever you are, right, it matters, because we just by the way we do things influence others, right? And I love that she said that. I love that she reminded you, like, you shifted the atmosphere, right?
Absolutely.
And that was totally the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, 100%. I don't
just
think...
working through you.
Yes.
Even though it seemed mundane, even though you were struggling to get those grades.
Well, and the fact that she was honest enough with me to tell me that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she realized at the time, I don't know if I ever even told her, how much of a difference it made for me, because it was that little bit
that you needed.
That I needed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that little. It really was a turning point in the sense that my perspectives changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, you know, it's eternity is bigger than this moment, and it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I think that, you know, you almost expect compensation. Like, for the fact that I stepped out of, you know, a comfortable choice and a comfortable decision and made myself uncomfortable because that's what you told me to do. And so I should be compensated.
I know. Like, that's like, it's like, been my life. Moving to Florida. Right?
Yeah. So it, you know, that to me, I'm like, the lessons that we read in terms of Mary, it couldn't have been how she imagined it.
Yeah, especially how everything came about when there was a plan in place. And it wasn't, I mean, times then were different also culturally. Like, there were bigger consequences than she might have faced today for things not going according to the way that she and Joseph
Absolutely.
Had planned it out.
Absolutely. But it's also, you know, as Jesus grows up, you know, it gets really hard and really ugly, and there are people wanting to kill him, and there are, you know, like, it got worse before the resurrection.
That's right.
It got a lot worse.
Yeah.
And you have to figure, you know, she's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
She's faithful even when she doesn't understand. And I wanted to read a little bit of a story because it shows that she legitimately, like, the Bible tells us, she did not understand.
Right.
And I find a lot of comfort in that myself, because again, like, there are times when you're, you know, you're trying to have faith in the moment, but it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense why something's happening. This one is in Luke chapter 2, verse 50. Jesus and his whole family, they would have been on pilgrimage to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very customary thing. He's being presented at the temple. There would have been a large caravan of aunts and uncles and cousins, and it would have been a celebration, a very exciting time, very fun. And I think of it as a parent now, because when you read the story younger, I don't know, in my head, at least as a child, I just pictured it as like just Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And pictured as an adult, and especially as a parent, like, traveling with a big family is a lot. And with lots of kids running around.
Yeah.
And you're trying to keep track of everybody. But let's face it. Mm-hmm. Like,
stress.
Exactly. So at one point, Mary and Joseph lose Jesus, which I'm sure... really, Mary loved that being recorded in all the Gospels.
Even when I first, like, started, like, really digging into that, I just want to pause real fast. I remember thinking, like, how do you lose your kid?
How do you...
You know? I'm not even... At that time, I wasn't even a parent.
Little
I'm
judgy?
Like, I know that I wouldn't have done that. But I also didn't understand what a caravan was. Like, we're not talking a Dodge caravan.
No.
Right? Like,
no.
This is, like...
It's like a procession.
Correct. Yeah.
No, I was a little judgy of them losing Jesus until my youngest, who loves to play hide and seek in clothing racks.
No.
And the last time that I took her shopping by myself mm-hmm. was the last time because she thought it was hysterical. And so I'm calling and yeah. calling. And I mean, she's a tiny thing.
Yeah.
Tiny thing. All 35 pounds of her. Mm-hmm. And yes, she's five and that small. But she thought it was hilarious. Yeah. And so she wasn't coming when I was calling her. And I mean, I was getting panic mode because I'm starting to picture like somebody's kidnapped her.
Of course.
Or
yeah.
she's injured or, you know, all these yeah. horrible things are running through your head. And so when I found her and she was laughing because she thought it was so funny, I was like, yeah, I'm not taking you by myself anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the last time. Sorry, friend.
So anyways, fortunately she's gotten somewhat better at that, but she still sometimes thinks it's funny. And mm-hmm. anyways, so by the time, Mary and Joseph, find Jesus, he's in the temple and he's really just like teaching the other religious leaders. Mm-hmm. And, but it's very chill. Like you enter that scene and it's kind of just feels like, you know, like yeah. he's just hanging out. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like panicked.
Right. As they had to imagine. Go back.
Yeah. They had to go back. Yeah. They had to stop. They were 3 days into their journey home.
Mm-hmm.
Had to turn around.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm thinking they were a little panicked at that point. Plus, you have to figure, you think Mary's flashing back to Gabriel and like you're going to carry like no pressure, mm-hmm. but your child is the son of God.
Yeah.
And now you've lost him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it says here, starting in verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And I love Jesus' response because you have to figure he's a child. Okay, he's a child.
That's right.
"Why were you searching for me?" he asked. Mm-hmm. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" And I'm like, I just have to stop before we get to the next one because picture that coming out of the mouth of a child.
Yeah. I know my reaction. Excuse me? What'd you say?
Want to run that by me one more
That's
time?
That's right. Do you have the audacity to repeat that? I just want to know.
But it says in verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a number of times that scripture says this, and there are times where it says that Mary treasured them in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like she's faithfully by his side. She witnesses his miracles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she witnesses his very first miracle.
Yeah.
But you have to figure that even so, you're not grasping, like, how is this going to work out?
Mm-hmm.
How's this going to, I mean, you didn't come in riding with a military, you know, army and take over and establish a kingdom like we were picturing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you came as a helpless child. Mm-hmm. I've been your mother. I changed diapers. Yeah. I, you know, cleaned you up when you got hurt playing, yeah. you know, in the street or whatever. All the things that a mother would do for a child, I just can't imagine
mm-hmm.
still, like having the faith. And I think that honestly, it's been one of the most encouraging things to read about Mary
mm-hmm.
because the fact that the Bible records over and over, they didn't get it. They didn't understand.
Yeah.
But they remained faithful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they continued on.
Yep.
It's worth meditating on.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause what does faith look like anyways?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that Mary shows us that, you know, she didn't give up. She didn't quit when she didn't understand.
Yeah.
And this would have been going on his entire life.
Yeah.
His entire life.
This is just the first recording of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, anyways.
That's good.
I love that story.
Yeah. These are actually the first recorded words of Jesus in Luke.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
So, like, that's how he opens up his...
Yep.
Like, if... You asked me, like, tell me about her new strength, right? This is Jesus telling him about what he does. I had to be at my father's house.
Yeah.
You know, why are you looking for me?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's interesting also because when you think about the other times in scripture when parents have had to go through a yeah. similar situation, right? Like when Joseph told Jacob about his dream with the sun, yes. the moon, and the 11 stars.
Yes.
Jacob did not understand, but he pondered it in his heart. Yeah. And that's what Mary does.
That's what Mary does.
And so it's this illustration of understanding that you don't understand. Like, okay, I'm going to jot that down.
Yes.
Keep it in the back of my mind. But, like, be okay to continue trusting.
Exactly.
You know, just exactly. continuing forward.
Exactly. And I think sometimes we have to will ourselves to do that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, there are seasons where it's horribly hard. And yeah. Mary hits some of those seasons.
Yeah. Oh, more than like, any of us will ever know, right?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think about the scene at the crucifixion, mm-hmm. where she's next to the Apostle John. Mm-hmm. And some of Jesus' last words are to his mother.
That's right.
I mean, he valued her enough that even when he was dying on a cross, couldn't breathe, mm-hmm. some of his last words were to his mother. Yeah. I mean, that's beautiful and poetic, but it's also, I can't imagine being Mary in those instances. Yeah. Because there's so many questions that would be going through your head.
Yeah.
So many questions. And in that moment, I don't think she felt highly favored. I yeah. don't think she would have felt like this was an honor. Because there's too much pain in that moment. Mm-hmm. To imagine the kind of pain of watching your child die in a form that is publicly humiliating, yeah. in a way that no Jew at the time would have understood, no one would have understood. Mm-hmm. But I would imagine the Jews would be particularly perplexed, mm-hmm. because it's not how they imagined the coming Messiah, who Jesus claimed to be. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine what she would have struggled with. But I know that, like, in our society, in our day and age, it's always about doing what makes you feel good. Doing what makes you happy.
Yeah.
Happiness. And I look at the stories of the men and women of faith in Scripture, and it's rarely the case that what they were called to do was to make them happy.
No. There is a book, I can't remember the name of it, but essentially it talks about how maybe marriage is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy.
Yes.
Sacred marriage?
Yes.
I want to say?
Yes.
And that applies to everything, right?
Uh-huh.
I think the most common phrase I hear from other parents is, I just want them to be happy. And I understand that sentiment, mm-hmm. because I'm a parent too, but having lived a whole life before Jesus that was unholy in every way, I have a different perspective. And
yeah.
and I think that we have to remember that happiness is not the goal.
Exactly.
Right? Like, that's actually not what we're called to. We're called to be righteous.
Yeah.
And what is righteousness?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And in terms of what Mary would have experienced in those times, like, I think back to what I said before, I tried yeah. to look at, like, through the telescope instead of the microscope. Like, in that moment, when you're seeing your son suffer on a cross and be just dying, right? Like, he died
yeah.
in front of her.
And you,
it's
yeah.
how do you trade the microscope for a telescope?
Yes, yes.
You know?
Because it's such an immediate pain. It's such an mm-hmm. such a raw and
yeah.
and unfiltered. It's your child.
Yeah.
It's your child.
Yeah.
And I, you know, and you brought up something in terms of like the way that the world does things and the gratification that's mm-hmm. sought after. And I think that once again, we go back to the way that Mary is deified. And I think that one of the things that is so dangerous about that is that deification and objectification run a very fine line together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we put someone on a pedestal who's not God,
mm-hmm.
who can't live up to that,
nope.
you run into all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
And one of them is that you remove that person's autonomy. You remove the aspect of their humanity that we relate to,
mm-hmm.
and they can't live up to the expectation that you're placing on them.
Yeah.
And so then they can't provide you with the hope that you're seeking.
That's right.
They can't. I mean, we do this with celebrities. We do this with celebrities all the time.
It's real weird.
It's real weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you put them on a pedestal, and I think that's what makes cancel culture so easy. Mm-hmm. Because you've put them on a pedestal and you're like, well, it's a good thing. You want to be on that pedestal. You know, everyone should strive to be like this person or that person. And these are the traits that make them, you know, better than everybody else. And that's why they deserve the deification that we're giving them. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're striving for those things, but they can't give you hope.
That's right.
And more than that, the person that you're putting on that pedestal actually suffers because of the pedestal.
Isn't it a terrible thing too, right?
Like, yeah.
I was listening to a conversation yesterday, and you know who Jackie Hill Perry is.
Oh, yeah.
So she had been on a podcast that I had never heard of. I don't even know the name of it right now. I wish I did so I can shout it out. But she basically was talking about how, like, overnight celebrities crash, right? And how that is more of a curse because a lot of the refining that happens on the way up to the mountaintop is missed when overnight success happens.
Absolutely.
And so with people who are given celebrity status, even over time, like if you sustain that for a period of time, you start to believe the hype about yourself.
Absolutely.
And there is, you know, that's a real curse.
Oh, absolutely. Because again, you mentioned this in the very beginning where you were talking about a clarity and understanding, and that it becomes so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes an impossible standard that you can't measure up to.
Yep.
And it doesn't fulfill you.
No, it cannot fulfill you, mm-mm, right? And so you're constantly chasing, you're constantly looking
exactly
for whatever it is that you're looking for.
Exactly, exactly. And that kind of wrestling between your humanity and the supernatural, it's part of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of life. But chasing the supernatural can actually fulfill you. Mm-hmm. Chasing after God and who He is and what He says about us can actually fulfill you.
That's right.
Whereas chasing after, you know, someone that you admire, like Mary,
mm-hmm,
she's a beautiful character in Scripture. Her faith is on another level.
Yeah.
But she's human.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't look at her as such, and if we take that away from her, we run into all kinds of theological issues, first of all.
First and foremost, right?
But it's also, at the end of the day, she's going to leave you empty.
Yeah.
Because she can't fulfill you.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
She can't.
One thing that helped me put Mary in her place, because I had to unlearn a lot of things, right, in my new walk with the Lord, in my real walk with the Lord, where I actually was reading the Word of God and I was coming to know Him and have that relationship with Him.
Yeah.
I saw that He used people.
Yeah.
And I started to understand Mary was a vessel.
Yes.
And I never understood that before.
Yes.
So it was challenging for me to have that respect for her without putting her in the same place as God, because I was young and that's how I was taught, right? But coming out of it, I was like, well, I still want to respect her and, like, have appreciation for what God did through her, because it's no small thing that she's the mother of Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. You know? Yes.
And so I think there's an interesting balance that only through growing in your relationship with the Lord and being rooted in the foundation of His Word.
Absolutely.
You get to have this respect for her at the same time that you don't, you know, glorify her.
Exactly. Exactly. No, that's so good. I was having a conversation with a friend. She's a fellow writer. And we were talking about the invention of AI and the way that you can enter. I had no idea. I mean, I'm so computer illiterate.
I still don't.
But AI, you can enter all kinds of terms into it and say, write this for me in this style and, you know, and that kind of thing. And it'll come up with a whole bunch. It's part of the reason, apparently, it's part of the reason that the Screenwriters Guild and everything is on strike, because there were a lot of edits and scripts that were being written solely through AI.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like a big whole thing for writers. However, we were messing around with it and we started plugging in terms that were like biblical and asking questions, theological questions.
Yeah.
And what we started to kind of, you know, and I'm like reading it over and I'm like analyzing it. Mm-hmm. And we were talking and I said, this is very surface. This is very surface level. you're not really going in mm-hmm. on that subject. You're kind right. of reiterating things that have been said before, right, or exactly. you know, catchy terms or whatever, that yeah. kind of thing. But it's not there's no depth to what you're right. saying.
Yeah,
and I think that so often when it comes to differentiating between deified versions of these characters that we have in the Bible, I think that it's kind of the same type situation where you have to go, okay, is that really, am I reading that on a surface level?
Mm-hmm.
Because it says, you know, when the angel greets her, it says she's highly favored, so she must be, you know, like her yeah. status must be higher than the rest of the characters.
Right.
Or do we need to dive deeper yeah. in? And I think that...
Let's unpack that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think mm-hmm. that's how it goes a lot of times in life. Because it's like we were saying, it doesn't always look the way you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, the plan gets changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what you thought. And is it wrong? Or do we need to go deeper on that? Do we mm-hmm. need to dive in further and explore that more? I love analyzing her character and watching the way that she handles the ups and downs mm-hmm. and the challenges and the, because at the end of the day, I mean, we know how her story
mm-hmm.
wraps up.
Yeah.
And she's one of the first evangelists.
That's right.
And she was there at the empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got to see the fulfillment of the promises That's that were right. made.
Yeah.
And so even though her life would have been pretty hard,
mm-hmm.
her life would have been pretty hard and she yeah. would have suffered some massive heartbreaks, things that, like you said, I mean, to be there at the crucifixion, I don't think you'd get over that. Even after he is raised from the dead.
No.
That's a trauma.
I think those of us who have watched, you know, either cartoons or movies that depict it
yeah.
can't get over it. After,
right?
Like, once you see it, you can't unsee it.
No.
So being there is even more traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah, and it being
and
your
it
child.
Being your child, yes. I was literally the next word, like, and then it's your kid.
It's your kid.
So, a lot of questions that you have even then. But then, like you said, she gets to see the fulfillment of that promise,
yeah.
and oh my gosh, imagine
yeah.
just
yeah.
the joy, just
yeah.
the gratitude, right? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You're dead. You were dead, and now you're alive.
And then it's like we were talking about earlier. Where your assignment, it's not always going to feel like an honor. It's not always going to feel like an honor. And it's
yeah.
oftentimes it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And for Mary, you know, she gets hailed for being the mother of Jesus.
Right.
But that wasn't for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in the sense that the salvation was for her as well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't about her being lifted up.
That's right.
It was about her being willing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you said before, her being willing to be a vessel
That's
in
right.
the same way that he calls us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's so many awesome lessons in her story.
Mm-hmm.
But reading her as a human being, as a sister in Christ, is huge. Erica, thank you so much for being here today.
No, it's been my pleasure. I'm grateful. It's been good.
Can you tell everybody? I know you're not huge on social media, but tell people where they can find you, because you do have a Facebook page for Her Renewed Strength.
Yeah, so you can just go to my website and then kind of click around herrenewedstrength.com.
Yeah.
You'll find the podcast, you'll find the
And the
community.
Podcast is on Apple, it's on Spotify, it's
everywhere.
On, yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's Her Renewed Strength, the podcast. We talk about Bible study and time management, and with our community, we do Bible study inside the community. It's virtual, so you can join from wherever.
You've got great content, too, I just have to say.
Oh, thanks.
Great content. I love the Bible study portions.
Wait, isn't it funny how the other day we were talking about this? Like, we will put out content, write something or say something, and then it ministers to us later.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So that happens a lot.
Because you sent me a page
show.
From my book.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Between Lines, which is, by the way that we met through
yeah.
my book. But yeah.
yeah,
but you sent me a page from it, and it took me a minute even to realize that was a page from my book, because I was reading what it said, and I was like, oh, man,
that's so good.
That applies
yes.
to life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of times I put out content on the podcast, and I don't remember that I wrote or said
yeah.
that. I'm like, yo, the Holy Spirit really just takes over.
Exactly.
Because I do not recall.
It was actually encouraging to me. It was weird in the sense that it was like, wow, that took a minute to realize that was me writing that. But it was encouraging in the sense that it's not just me.
It's not, yeah, yeah.
That I pray over every single line.
Exactly.
That I want God to speak and not just me. Because if it's just me writing words on a page, don't bother reading it because it's not worth it.
Yeah, no. It's just an example of being a vessel.
Yeah.
So, if you struggle with time management or if you just want a little more Bible study, herrenewedstrength.com. We have a bunch of stuff going on there. We have a conference coming up and you are day one person.
I am day one.
And that's going to be so good. It's a virtual experience and it's free.
Yeah.
So herrenewedstrength.com/conference. And we'll have access even after it passes.
I actually love that it's virtual because you can have time.
Yes.
For virtual.
Yeah. And it's not, it's
and it's
not
accessible
live.
To everyone.
You can just grab it when you
yes.
can.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a great cup of coffee.
It really is. Oh my goodness. Well, okay. That honestly, yes, all of the things. Go to herrenewedstrength.com. That's where the conference is. You can find her podcast.
It's good.
But Erica, seriously, thank you so much.
No, it's my pleasure.
It's been awesome.
Yes.